G'day everyone, and welcome to the show. Today we've got John Lucic from New Zealand. Whereabouts in New Zealand are you, mate?
Auckland.
Auckland. Cheers for connecting, mate. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm good, Pete. Good. A little
We've
bit
been,
nervous.
a little bit nervous. It's all right, mate. We've been talking on and off on Facebook. You're part of Talk Group New Zealand, which is Truth Awakening, Limitless Knowledge, and Lee Kerr's the founder of that here in Australia. Now it's sort of gone worldwide to Canada and US, and it's going to go abroad even more. But we've hooked up. Now, would you mind just giving everyone sort of a quick overview, just a little bit about yourself and how your experiences or into the unknown, the unexplained started, mate?
Well, yeah, far out. Where do I start? Like, been chatting a little bit earlier about things and whatnot. A few crazy things happened in my youth and whatnot, and school years and stuff like that. But it all started really when I injured my hand and nearly died. And it was sort of like a wake up in a way. But it actually took a couple of years after that. It was in 2006 when I had a bad injury and nearly bled to death, and went to hospital, had operation, whatever. Actually had six operations because they cut all my arteries and tendons and nerves were all cut in my hand.
Oh, God.
They called it full spaghetti. The doctors all the spaghetti. Anyway, I nearly bled to death there, and I sort of got over that, and was sent home and a little bit early maybe. And anyway, because you've got to prop your hand up. It fell down and it banged and it started squirting blood out again at 4 in the morning.
God.
And that was the time when I went to hospital and had the out of body experience and the three orbs of light above me and raising above the bed and the whole nine yards. And man, that was a trip, and it really knocked me around. And took me a while to get over. I was crying with my family and all of that. The next day, I couldn't work all this stuff out. You know what I mean? I wasn't. It was all new to me. And
So what
so
exactly
then,
happened? Like, were you like, did you leave your body, or did these orbs rock up first, and then you sort of
no.
went with them, or?
What happened? I was. Anyway, that. They hadn't given me enough pain medication. I woke up, they didn't give me enough anesthetic. I woke up as they're pushing me through the doors out of surgery. I had my arm was just in sheer agony, like you wouldn't
Ugh.
believe. I had drip and stuff in this hand. I went to the recovery room where everybody else that's had operations were all crashed out, like
Yep.
asleep, like you should be when you've just come out from surgery. But I was wide awake and in agonizing pain, just agonizing pain, like you wouldn't believe. It just got worse and it got worse, and I was, yelling and screaming and crying and all of this, and just telling them, please, just knock me out, knock me out. I just can't handle this shit, and it just crescendoed until bang, the pain went, all the feeling in my body went totally, and I started raising above the bed, not looking down, looking up. And then I noticed there was three balls of light, one a little bit higher than the other, but three of them. And I started floating up towards them. And I got, like this quite high ceilings in this room, hospital, recovery ward, whatever you want to call it. And oh, there's a helicopter now, mate. But and I saw these light things and they sort of blissed me out, and I don't know, time just stood still or something or other. And then I gradually ended up floating back down and getting back in my body, and feeling came back and all this sort of thing. But I was awake through the whole experience. I'd had blood transfusions, all sorts of stuff like that. And that was where it all started, and it was a total trip because I hadn't experienced anything sort of spiritual or anything like that before in my life. Anything like that anyway. And then it sort of sent me on a bit of a religious, I suppose, journey. you know, looking out, what are these angels? Is that an angel? What are these things? You know what I mean? That I saw, or are they ghosts, or are they, I don't know, God or something? Who knows, you know? So then, yeah, I started reading all of these things, and then it just became really obvious to me straight away, reading all of the books, the Bible and all of that, Genesis and all this sort of stuff, that, you know, and, you know, studying online and all that sort of thing, cross-referencing things and stuff, that these angels as such, you know, we're sort of a little bit different than what we're sort of led to believe, as far as being, I believe, extraterrestrials rather than angels as such. But now, after many years of studying, I've realized that, you know, that there are different dimensions and things like that, and possibly that's where these angels, or whatever the biblical angels that people refer to, you know what I mean, maybe are interdimensional.
Definitely.
And the ones in the Bible that they call either the Elohim, or in the Sumerian one, the Anunnaki, are physical extraterrestrials that came here a while ago and had a lot of trouble staying on our planet. As the story goes, they the atmosphere was a little bit different. They could, you know what I mean? It wasn't perfect to what they're used to. Maybe too much nitrogen, or not enough oxygen, or too much oxygen. I can't be sure. But they said the atmosphere in the tablet says the atmosphere wasn't good. And then apparently where they came from, they had a much, much longer day and year. And it was the equivalent of us, if we went to a planet, it actually getting light and dark 40 times in one day.
Jeez.
So you imagine going to a planet and it's revolving, you know what I mean? We're used to one day, and in half an hour it's dark, and then another half an hour it's light, and then half an hour, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so this is what it was like, apparently, for these guys. And I don't know. So they struggled for a while. They got dizzy. They had to make elixirs and bring different plant and chemicals from their own planet to try and, you know, handle this, because apparently, you know, they came here for a reason, they wanted to get it done, and then they just couldn't handle it in the end, and so they created us.
and that's where it gets interesting, because we were talking before the show, and you were asking my take on the Anunnaki, and like I was saying, like I just know what I know, and there's, when you went into the interdimensional aspect of it, that yeah, you've got the 3D, but then you've got these beings, you know, there's different levels of them.
Yeah. It could be an Anunnaki 4th, 5th,
yeah,
6th, 7th, you know what I mean?
Yeah, just definitely, like, and that's where it goes.
There's different peaks, there, yeah. Da-da-da, you know, your DNA, whatever. But, so yeah, that, it's interesting to try and work out which of these. But then there's also the fact that the 3D guys, as it seems with many contactees in that, have technology that they can make themselves into a ball of, you know what I mean? Like into an orb of energy. They just press the button on their belt or something or other, or they teleport, you know what I mean? And then they can actually physically appear before you as, I don't know, a half, you know what I mean? Half formed, you know what I mean? More like a light being. So
yeah,
to work out which one of these, you know what I mean? And also apparently they were a little bit tricky. They didn't like to let too many secrets out. So, they, you know, they can sort of deceive a little bit in ways and not give perfect
give too much data. You know? But it was so interesting what you were saying about the three dudes being visited by, like the Anunnaki being visited by angels and that aspect of that too. Do you want to go into that a little bit? Because that's pretty cool and thought-provoking as well for those that don't know too much of these side of things.
Yeah, well, that's the thing with you dealing with the Anunnaki, Michael Lee Hill, people like that, and I don't think people realise that the Anunnaki, were actually visited by, while they were on Earth, the three leaders were actually visited by what they referred to as an angel, a three-dimensional solid being that got out of one of their crafts and came to them as a commander or something, because they got like a military rank as well.
Yeah, yeah.
And they went to the three leaders, the Enki, Enlil, and Ninmah, the female, and gave them this crystal tablet, sort of, I don't know, much like an iPad or something like that, maybe, and it had a code on it. They, you know, they're high technology. So they deciphered the code and found that it's actually from their leader, and it's the real McCoy, you know what I mean? Like, this is, you know, the tablet the guy gave. And it basically told them that if they go back to their own planet, that they will die, because they've already become accustomed to the Earth's cycles and yeah, and all of that, and they're changing and stuff. And so anyway, they were like, oh yeah, okay, good. And the guy got back on the craft, and his name was Galzu. Anyway, he had white hair, like not blonde, but white hair. And very similar to the Betty Andreas.
Yeah,
contacts, where it's got these guys and they got bare feet and robes and stuff like that. And they're a little bit taller, like 7 foot or something like that. They've got quite high foreheads and sort of shoulder length white hair, you know, crystal blue eyes. Even the Anunnaki commented that this guy had extra white hair and extra blue eyes, you know, and they're people that are meant to be fair and blue eyes. So this guy was even different to them. So he went, and then two times after that, the two leaders were actually had dream visions, had a dream where this guy told them to do something that they weren't planning on doing. And one of them was saving Abraham's father from a calamity that was going to happen. And he was told, pick someone, tell him to get out of where he's going. There's going to be something happening. You've got to pick a righteous man and da, 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 da. Another one was to save Noah when there was a big flood around about 10,000 BC, something like that. And basically, this is where they sort of get a bad rap. The Anunnaki people say, oh, they wanted to kill mankind and this, that, the other, and whatever. But put yourself in their position. They've only got so many spacecraft. There's 600 of them here. There's 300 of them on Mars. They've got to get off the planet because the ice sheets in the South Pole are actually going to, you know, like, because of cyclical other planets, some whatever. Anyway, the ice sheets fell off, splashed in the water, caused a huge tidal wave from south to north, and it just covered the whole, almost everything, with water. But they had to get out. They knew this was coming because they had instruments. They were watching it for years beforehand, and instruments checking and all of this and noises and stuff. So what are they going to do? Put the whole Earthlings in the spacecraft and take them with them or something? You know what I mean? They had no choice, sort of thing. So, but they didn't want to save, one of them didn't want to save any of them. It's like, oh, mate. Because they have this thing where they go, is it fate or is it destiny? Destiny is something that you can't change. You know what I mean? It's like orbits of planets, you know, something that's too powerful to, you know what I mean? But you can foresee this thing happening. Where fate is something that you can actually intervene in and change it, sort of like changing a timeline or, you know what I mean? Yeah. You're told to do something, Pete, go left instead of right, you know what I mean? But then maybe there's another Pete in another dimension that went right instead of left, you know what it's,
yeah, it's I know what you're saying, yeah.
You know, so I don't know. But anyway, so this guy came and, gave another one of them a dream vision and actually left him this tablet with the drawings to make this boat to save the chosen person of the Earthlings from the flood. So yeah, they were intervened from this angel, which is what I can gather is possibly how they are to us, how they came here and they couldn't handle the cycles of the Earth and da da da, they needed something done, so they created an inferior being that could handle this planet and just, you know, and maybe they did that to them or for another reason. But anyway, so yeah, they've got angels as well, man. And they believe in a creator of all, you know what I mean? So, and, but I feel that they were all pretty good to a certain extent. But when they got here, maybe the cycles of the Earth, some of them were actually born here. I think the atmosphere and maybe the gravity and the Earth cycles actually changed them a little bit. Maybe made some of them go a little bit loopy or something like that. and they had rivalries against each other. It was anyway. So yeah, so it's
is it something that you can constantly look into, and you've looked into it a fair bit. With going into this, obviously your experience and other things that had happened have got you into this more. And also we talked before the show about you going into other areas of study, like you've looked into propulsion. Would you mind going into that a little bit? Because I myself, when all this started happening, it was funny. I had people visit me. My neighbour, who's in one of my docos, can testify to this, that she'd come around and I basically turned my land room into a friggin' science lab and was building electrostatic propulsion triangles with lightning bolts going through. I don't know how I'm still alive with the lightning bolts I had going across the friggin' land room. Yeah. And I looked into all different types of the anti-grav propulsion. And a lot were saying, like, I reckon Billy Meyer's full of shit in a lot of accounts, but I think the early accounts, there's something to it. And because I know, just like myself and just like you, when you have something happen, everything changes. And you can see the change in Billy at the start, and then you see Figu come in later, and even his son's talked about that. But we were talking about some of the schematics and things like that with that, and then the similarity to the Bob Lazar craft or the sports model, which apparently the nine crafts that were there in S4 apparently all had the same propulsion system but a slightly different exterior. Yeah. And then the Russians had the same type of thing. Do you want to go into this for the viewers and the audience?
Yeah, well, I was fascinated by the electrogravitic propulsion, and I knew that it's really not that hard to achieve if you know the few little secrets and stuff like that. But to actually build a craft like these Element 15, that's the next level. Originally, the Vimanas, and by what I class as a Vimana even is the Adamski-style craft, the earlier bell shape with the
balls
three
underneath.
Balls underneath. They've actually got what's called a Mercury vortex. Mercury vortex propulsion system. And that's what's sort of classed as a Generation 1 craft. They were using that Mercury vortex. They're quite unstable. They sort of, you know what I mean? Flip around
a bit wobbly.
Like that. A bit wobbly and stuff like that. It was all sort of before our time. And a lot of people of our era look back at that thing, that's all fake and this, that, the other. But no, there's too much to that, and there's a lot more to that, but we won't go into that. But then there's the, what's considered the Generation 2 and onwards craft, which have the Element 115 reactors inside them, and crafts are made out of a quasi-crystal alloy, which is the key to getting all of this working. What it is an alloy with a combination of rare earth metals, maybe a little bit of silver, a few bits and pieces. But the trick of it is to actually turn those metals into a crystal. And the way they do that is through using multiple magnetic fields in a zero-G environment. Mm-hmm. If it's got gravity on it and you melt metals and stuff like that, they just sort of all form, you know, like the little tiny, if you actually look at it under a microscope, it's like little crystals, if you know what I mean. They're all sort of mixed up and stuff like that. What the magnetic field in the zero-G environment does, and what quasi-crystals are, it actually lines up the positive and negative of the crystals one by all perfectly. So it turns it into a superconductor. And by that, I mean it can flow electricity without any heat buildup or resistance.
And it gives it a shitload of strength too.
Well, yeah, it's very strong as well, apparently. Mm. But, so that's what their crafts are made out of, this thing. And I think up in the International Space Station and that, possibly they're playing around trying to work out what they needed to do to make this metal the way that they need it made. Mm-hmm. But with a lot of the research and stuff that I've gone into, I've realized that I don't know how many races do it, but there's certain races involved, and they make crafts for possibly a few others as well in these big factories that are like floating space stations out in the middle of deep space or whatever, and they're sort of like an automated. I think even one guy with a telescope, I don't know if you ever saw those things, he had this deep space telescope. He recorded these were like deep space stations that actually were moving, you know what I mean? Like, it's not like a solid thing. would actually change shape, these space stations. I think that's possibly part of their function, how they, I don't know, like a shift change or something like that. You know, you go to work and you finish your shift and another one comes. But I mean, this is all automatic and it does this process and then it needs to change shape to do this process. Or I don't know, mate. But yeah, apparently this stuff's manufactured in zero G and that's what they need to actually work. Otherwise, see, there's the ARV craft as well. Have you heard of that?
The alien reproduction vehicle.
Yeah, the alien reproduction thing, Stephen Greer and all of that. And the way they got that was, you noticed it had these plated capacitors at the bottom or whatever, sort of a bell shape. There was a circle where they were. It actually had the mercury vortex thing up the middle.
Yeah, just a different the curve thing.
Version, and a little generator thing at the bottom. But then because they didn't have the quasi-crystal metal to actually make the craft superconduct, I don't know if you're aware that certain materials at around about minus 200 degrees, something like that, if you put them into liquid nitrogen, like have you ever seen, I don't know, there's videos on YouTube where they put like a magnet, neodymium magnet, into liquid nitrogen. And then they place it above a magnetic field, and the thing just sits there like a UFO. Doesn't fall off, doesn't flip over, it just will sit there. You can hit it like that. And they made a track, almost like a slot car track, but it's actually a magnetic field. And they just touch this magnet, and it just flies around this track. So that's anyway, this ARV had these big tanks on the bottom above the capacitors. I'm pretty sure they were filled with liquid nitrogen. So they pump the liquid nitrogen into the capacitors, which turn them automatically into a superconductor. And then they pump the electricity from the mercury, you know, generator into the capacitors, and that's how they achieved it. It was sort of cheating a little bit, if you know what I mean, but that was the first way they did it. And
well, that craft was actually found, if I remember, from the 2001 National Press Club conference where they showed that. I think that was on show at some bloody
military
aircraft thing. Show.
Yeah. And there was three of them.
Yeah.
And they were just hovering above the ground.
Yeah. And people thought it was full of shit, but that was the real deal.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Yeah. Well, that would make sense to me. Because as I said, I got so into this that I actually went and studied the alternating current at
the university.
To actually get my head around it more. But, that would make sense. And
what did the Russians have that was similar?
They had the same crafts, man. They had the same Lazar or Billy Meyer type craft with the schematics of it, all the insides and stuff like that. Plus they had a, this is just schematics that I've got.
Yeah.
Plus they've got other shaped crafts as well, like older ones with the mercury in them. Just all sorts of shapes, a cigar, sort of a, triangle type thing. And yeah, so anyway, that's what the Russians have got. And so that, that's from a long time ago. I think that stuff's from like the 60s or 70s, those schematics, because you don't put schematics on paper anymore. It's all on computer and stuff like that. And just the way it was done. And it perfectly matches Billy Meyer's craft, and it perfectly matches Bob Lazar's craft. And they're all from different parts in time and from different parts of the world. So it's sort of like
saying that. Was there any other crafts that you know of or anybody else mentioned? Because we know later on, I was surprised to find out that in Germany, physicists, they used the exact equation Bob Lazar had without knowing about it, from what I understand.
Yeah.
They may have known, it's just from what I recall, but either way, they recreated element 115 from the equations.
Yes.
The only difference, as Bob said, is that they only made it, it's got such a short life that it was, it was tiny. Yeah. But Bob said what he had, he could hold in his friggin' hand like a clump of it. Yeah. And I think happened was they hit it with the photon, and then it goes through, bombards it up to 116, and then goes through the thermiotic generator. But it was just a power source. Is there anything else like that you know of?
Well, like they said, at about element 240 or 30 or something, it happens again. But it's just a characteristic of that particular element. Apparently, when it jumps to 216 and then it jumps back to 215, it lets out dark matter or anti-gravity, or I don't know, we just don't quite know. But apparently that element is found in sort of like how we've got granite here on another planet. It's, you know, they can mine it or whatever, and it's, you know, but we just can't create a stable version of it here, possibly to do with our gravity, atmosphere. I don't know. Who knows, man?
It's really funny. I heard a episode of Bob Lazar with Art Bell years back, and a guy rang in, and it was in the Encyclopedia Britannica, I think is how you call it, 1970-something, element 115 they found apparently in the meteorite, but it's not in any other encyclopedia version after or before. So yeah. I found that pretty interesting. That,
well, exactly.
It would have been just a tiny speck of it, just a trace.
They only made a couple of atoms or a couple of, you know, like a little bit of it, and then it, you know, only lasted for a little while or something like that. But it proved that it's real. Do you know what I mean? It, you know, but as I say, they mine it. And I was reading that they make it into these circular cake things or something like that. It's quite bizarre. They could, I don't know, like a patty or something like that. Then they squeeze the patties together into a tube, and then they cut a triangle out of the tube. Seems quite wasteful to me, but I don't know. But anyway, that's the story as it goes or whatever. And yeah, mate, yeah.
Have you come to much any other ideas, like from the research and the study you've done yourself into propulsion, have you had any sort of ideas on your own on and other versions or ways you would go about certain propulsion systems when knowing what you know now? Even though you might have to get some of the materials somewhere else, have you got any ideas?
Well, what fascinated me now is these light crafts or something like that. Do you know what I mean? Like balls of energy or something like that. There was a place in, I'm not sure where it was, like Iceland or somewhere like that, where they had this valley and all these sort of like energy ball crafts, and also triangles and solid craft, and sort of like must be a portal of some sort or whatever.
And they've been talking about. I can't remember the name of the place, but I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
They actually put a big, they put a shed there with all these cameras and sensors and all this sort of stuff, and they had university people come and stay there and watch them and film them and all that. But so that's fascinated me, the light ones and that. And I have no idea how those things work. Interdimensional, obviously.
Yeah.
But what I found really interesting, I was listening to Linda Howe's interview, latest thing last night. And she said that a military person has told her that the some of the balls of light that are seen, you know what I mean, that people call UFOs, are actually tears in a dimension, when that has been caused through our testing of nuclear weapons on this planet. And, you know, they were told by the ETs, don't do that, you know, like, it's not cool doing that. It affects the multiple dimensions. When you let off a nuclear explosion, apparently it resonates back into other dimensions or something like that.
Yeah.
And apparently, you know, like they've done thousands of them, man. You know, it's just crazy. And possibly some of these balls of light that people see around portals and stuff like that, that they're filming and stuff like that, she's saying that she's been told that there are possibly sort of like a tear in a, you know what I mean? Like a tear in the dimension that you're actually seeing. I don't know, man. So I thought that was quite fascinating anyway, something new, you know what I mean? A new idea to look into and stuff like that, you know?
Well, that's something I hadn't heard of. I heard of that, but not the balls of light being a manifestation from that. And this is where, you know, you can't throw anything out like we talked about before the show. So, you know, 10 years down the track, that could have something to it. It won't cover all cases or explanations.
No,
it could have something definitely to it. With yourself being in New Zealand, has there been any cases or things that have interested you, like old school? Like, I know one shit hot case that blew me away was where Bruce McAbee's done the analysis on the video, but there was these reports of lights being seen over a certain area, and then the Channel 10 crew here from Melbourne flew over and they filmed these frigging things.
Like for a light.
Like that's been really well known.
My take on that And from that time and stuff like that, that was back in the 70s, late 70s, 78, something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Around the sort of Billy Meyer sort of time and stuff like that. I think they came from the South Pole, those crafts, you know, myself anyway, because I think there's a some sort of base or something there. It's pretty obvious, I think. I don't know. People say inner earth and this and that. Who knows? But, I mean, there is definitely something going on at the South Pole, and there's multiple bases all around the planet. I've heard there's an R&R base at Pine Gap, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
There's in Italy, there's the French Alps, there's South Africa, there's multiple in the States, you know what I mean? So
yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, but then there was another guy. We're a little bit early and I haven't had a chance to track this down. I don't know if you heard of the guy. I can't. It seems terrible. I can't remember his name. But he met these. He was driving somewhere close to Rotorua or something like that in the North Island, New Zealand. And he was the car was lifted up. You hear about that guy?
No, I've heard of a similar case with the Knowles family here between
the car was taken
and Perth. But yeah,
he went for a week. I think it was about 5 days or a week he spent with these guys. They took his car and everything. He met these blue beings or something like that. These blue guys. And, you know.
I have heard of these.
I apologize to him if he's watching. I just can't think of the name off the top of my head. I shared a bit of it on Talk Australian last year and a few interviews with him and that. And it's a fascinating case, and they I've got to look into that one earlier. So that was a big one, the Kaikoura Lights and stuff like that. But there's a lot of indigenous stuff going on in the background that we sort of don't know about. I was talking to you earlier about this place, a portal that I've heard about, and a friend of mine's friend, his grandparents used to live there. And interact with these interdimensional beings at this portal place. And we got talking about it, and he said to me, we'll go meet these people and this and that, these interdimensional people, and we've got to do this and that, and da-da-da, they've worked out how to do it. But he said, if we don't meet them, at the very least, you'll see UFOs. I'm like, well, man, that's cool enough. See the UFOs, but yeah, no, there's these people, and they're called the fairy people, or children of the mist is their name. And as I said to you, I you just start talking about one subject, and then I don't know if it was ancient aliens or something was on TV, and they went into a cave and they said, oh yeah, we heard these people come up behind us, start playing musical instruments and stuff. So I'm like, whoa. And
that's exactly what you'd been told
about.
Yeah,
that's on the other side of the planet or something. And I'm like, oh wow, musical instruments. But anyway, yeah, so that's going to be a little investigation I'm quite keen to get into. And, I'm just waiting for my night vision tube to be made up for my new camera so then I can, you know.
Cool. Yeah, get some
footage and try and catch the guys on film and stuff like that. But,
so what type of camera are you attaching the tube to?
This new camera I bought for another investigation I did not long ago. I just had to... I got to buy this camera today.
Yeah.
And I was like, and Lee and whatever. Oh, go on eBay. It's half price and that. And I'm like, no. I need the camera today. I knew I needed the camera today.
Yeah.
And I went and got the camera, and I got some great footage that night of an orb flying inside and a few bits and pieces. You go to the investigations and you're looking for one thing, and then you might realize that, you know, this, everything's connected, like the paranormal, the extraterrestrial, the interdimensional, I don't know, man. And if you go to places that are portals or something like that, you just never know what you're going to find. You know what I mean? You go there looking for crafts or orbs or something like that, and I don't know, you might get followed home by something that starts, you know, playing with you for a while, and you go a bit nuts for a few days, and then you finally go, whoa, snap out of this. If you can't see it, just don't worry about it. You know what I mean? Because unseen things can, you know, play havoc on you if you, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, definitely. It's just best to be aware. And I've done lots of investigations myself. And Over time, I learned to just do a bit of protection before I went and left, and made sure they didn't follow me home because they can do that sort of thing. And it's right, like you might go to, like I went to some places where I actually debunked, and I know this shit's as real as anyone else, but whether it was plumbing or wind or something in the roof, like a friggin' possum I had to chase around and bloody get in the headlock and throw out the manhole because,
Exactly.
and I can
You've got
understand
to
people
keep your
shitting
feet on the
themselves.
ground, eh?
Yeah, you've got to keep your feet on the ground with this, and you've got to have that balance. And but at the same time, you can go to a like there's been times I've seen nothing all night, and then at the end of the night, I've had an experience or I've caught a bit of evidence that you go, who would have guessed, And then even myself, I've moved to the city of Melbourne, and I'm having more interactions now and filming stuff during the day and having witnesses to it than I ever had in a smaller town.
I
This is
know.
where you can sometimes get the exact opposite of what you are, I guess, either expecting or perceived to be the outcome. You might get some ground activity, whether it's orbs or beings in the place that you're investigating, and you go there wanting to see a UFO. You could get the
Exactly.
exact
That's what I
opposite.
mean. You just don't know what's going to pop up, sort of thing. And it's not like you've got a control button to go, oh no, I'll turn that off and I'll turn that on. You know what I mean? And then even, as I say, if something does. People are like, even myself, I'm like, I want this to get going, I want more communication, interaction, sort of thing like that. But then, as I say, you're never sure what is actually going to start communicating and interacting with you. And there's no volume button. And when it starts, I'll tell people now, man, like, man, it can get intense, mate. I mean, really intense. I had a few days where things were just, and I was getting that, that noise that you picked up on the phone that time, that sort of data noise or that Morse codey sound or something like that, and things like that happening and some other strange things. And oh man, so as I say, once if something starts, you have no control on how much of it you know what I mean? It's gonna go on. It can be really full on, man,
And it
and
is, it breaks you down, and you've got to
it does.
reset and
You need
try
to
and
step
cope with
back
this
and assess
thing.
it and go, is this giving me some sort of positive information or especially new information? Something that, because I was getting these downloads and stuff, I was meditating and all this stuff was happening. I was like, wow, there's definitely something going on. And you really do have to be sensible and to keep your feet on the ground and assess the situation and go, is this really something positive or is this something that's just,
Not in
really,
line.
And I realized, no, this is not something that I really need. You know what I mean? It's not doing good things for me. And yeah, I was just lucky. I had a friend that was quite grounded and he came over and he said, mate, you're just going to have to step back from this and just stop doing this. It's just nuts, And also, never go on an investigation with new equipment you haven't tested first. It can make a fool of you.
No, definitely, definitely, and
But
that's
if you can admit that, it's all good. You know what I mean? It's all about the truth to me. You know what I mean? And it's so important in this. You've just got to be truthful and you've got to, you just don't want to lead people down the garden path. Even if you've been led yourself, you've got to just fess up to it and just say, hey, I was wrong, and let's get back on track,
Now, well, this is what it's about, and it's about learning. We all make mistakes and that sort of thing. And and these days people just want to point the finger at somebody doing wrong, and when they do right, they still, they won't sell the binoculars. I wouldn't mind getting a tube type thing to put to the camera, like you're talking about. I'm actually thinking about getting binoculars, but I need about 7 grand for something that I really want to get to get something worth it. I find what pisses me off is that the binoculars that I know of don't record. Or they don't record well, so you have to shove a camera up to it. Or if you get the monocular like I'm using, you don't get as good a quality, or it's too much zoom. So you gotta have that balance. But it should be fun for you, that type of thing. But
See,
what
I don't
type?
do the sky watching every night or anything like
Yeah.
that,
No, you know when to go out.
I just want it
Yeah.
there for when I go out, just to,
Yeah,
you know
that's
what
the
I mean?
same with me. I know when to walk out. People think,
Exactly.
like, I'm out there for 3 or 4 hours when we do a sky watch, when we take, people from the public or whatever. But for myself around home and with Sol, we just know when to walk out. And it's the same with you. You just know when to go out. But In saying that, what's some of the experiences you've had in terms of seeing weird orbs or weird crafts or anything
Oh,
of that nature?
sounds a bit, but you know, but I've got security cameras around my house. You know what I mean? The night ones, day ones, whatever. I've got that. You know, I catch sometimes orbs appearing in the security cameras and stuff like that. When I have to mention Lee Kerr. She's, you know, if it wasn't for Lee Kerr, we wouldn't be sitting here talking. A lot of people wouldn't be, you
Connecting
know,
up. And
connecting up
Lee's a
and stuff like
connector in
that.
that way, definitely,
Lee is
definitely.
wonderful, and you know, she really is. And yeah, oh, I've lost my train of thought now. What was it?
We're just
But
talking about the what crafts and orbs and those types of things you've seen.
yeah.
You're
So
going on about
anyway,
it.
I don't know how I even got on to Talk Group Australia. Just, you know what I mean? And I sort of, you know, I've been keeping an eye on what you've been up to for a while, sort of thing. And you're involved, I think. So I sort of, you know, joined up over there and started sharing things and whatever. And then found out Lee wanted to open the different talk groups around the world or whatever. And you know, I'd been sharing, you know, I like to push things a little bit, you know, like as say, who needs to repeat the same things over and over again? Let's put a few different theories out there, and you know what I mean? Get people, you know what I mean? I sort of forget how much I've done and how little maybe some other people have done. And anyway, but Lee sends me this message, you know, and I get this private message, and I open it, and it's this big thing, you know, and I'm like, oh no, what have I done wrong now? You know, she's going to tell me, oh, don't say this, do that, da da da. But it wasn't. She's like, oh, you know, I'm really happy. I'd really like you to do the New Zealand one, da 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 da, like that. And I was like, oh wow, you know. So that was, and then it wasn't straight away. It took a while to get it all going in that. And then before Christmas, she sent me the final one. Okay, you're going to do it or not? You know, like it's time to get, you know, get started on this. And I was like, you know, do I really want to put myself out there? Sort of much like the show, do I really want to, you know? But I was like, for the first time, I was like, okay, I want a sign. I want a sign. If I'm going to do this, I really want a sign, you know? And I don't know if it was just the energy, just the night, da da da. Who knows, mate? Who knows? Anyway, I got a big sign that night. I had a big sighting. Beautiful, crystal clear night. Not a cloud in the sky. Went outside. I was looking one way. Nothing, you know? Oh, shit, you know? I'm looking for the sign or whatever. Not straight away. I'm talking about, I was like, I want a sign, I want a sign. And in a few hours later, I was like, okay, go outside now, you know? And I'm looking up one way, there's nothing. And I turn around and I go back, you know, and I'm looking up the other part of the sky. And then I sort of notice this sort of like misty sort of shit forming in the, you know, this misty shit. And I'm like, what is that a cloud or what is that? And then in this sort of misty shit, get this. About 10 or so lights and random things sort of in this mist or whatever. Like, wow, what the hell is that, you know? And then I start getting this euphoric sensation over my body. Like, I'm meaning like full on,
Like you just
like,
had 20 eckies or something.
yeah, exactly. You know, just this, you know what I mean? And I could feel it, and I could sense there was something behind me, you know, probably just one of those orbs or something spinning around me. I've sort of worked out that through your footage and that as well, that, you know, that I always look in the background. People are looking at the lights. I look in the background, and you see the orbs shooting around and all this sort of stuff. I think that's what gives you this feeling when you're being scanned by them, or who knows. But anyway, so I got this feeling and euphoric and that, and I'm just, you know, and those lights had stopped flashing and that. And then this, it looked like a half circle. And it had a big streak, and it went like that across the sky, left a big green streak, like that. And I was like, wow, you know what I mean? And so it was quite a full-on thing. And the feelings and all of that that went with it. And I was like, I went straight back and I was like, Lee, did you guys send that? You know, it was pretty full on one. But I had a couple more before that. Like not, you know, like I probably get it two, maybe three times a year. I'll see something pretty good, you know, and I mean definite, like a, you know, like a big orb floating right over the field that's down the road, and then a little one shoot out to the side towards the mountain, and then that slowly, you know, and I go inside, and whoever's there at the time,
Yeah.
come on down, they all stand there and I'm like, you know. But yeah, things like that, you know, like there is no doubt, you know what I mean? Like similar to one of those things, you know, those two or three things that you just had over your house a week or so ago, you know, but just like one of those, but a little bit bigger, you know. And it's like, how do you deny that? It's not a plane. It's not a, you know, it's not even high in the air, mate. It's just,
It's just
you know what I
above,
mean?
yeah.
Yeah. Like, so yeah, I've had a few of those and stuff like that, you know, but I don't really talk about it much because, unless you film it or something like that, you know, people think you're full of shit or something.
And then even then, people think you're full of shit when you show the footage anyway. But have you had things like even high strangeness activity in the house? Like you're talking about the orbs. Have you had anything sort of, I guess, out of the blue in terms of something you haven't expected, like in or objects being moved or just weird thought stuff or anything like that sort of come
Not
with
the
it?
object. I haven't had the objects being moved or anything like that. I've had the weird thought stuff. And what really made me realize, I haven't told anybody this. I'm going to seem like a total nut now, but who gives a
Don't
shit?
worry, this is the show for it.
When I it was the night that this happened, when that data noise happened in that, I was sort of meditating and it started happening, right? So, you know, it was an intense time. And everything, I turn all of the electronics off, you know what I mean? The TV, the Wi-Fi, the whole nine yards, turn it all off. So, you know what I mean? I just do it, you know? And that noise, that electronic noise, see, I've got two cats, mate, you know, and they're like guard dogs. They just sit outside all, you know, not even like that. Anyway, one of them's you know, pretty special to me. She sleeps on a chair next to, you know, my bed or whatever. And she was there, you know, and I was meditating in that noise from your phone was coming from my cat.
Oh God, that doesn't like look. That's trippy, but I don't throw anything out in terms of weird like that. I've
No,
seen a
the
cat
cat wasn't.
shapeshift into like a humanoid, so
The
that's
cat wasn't breathing, and it
crazier.
freaked me out because I was like laying back and I was actually laying down, sort of meditating and stuff like that. And then I heard this noise, this like, you know what I mean? That noise, whatever that sort of like beeping Morse code, sort of like a data noise and a, you know, a real electronic noise. And I look up and I see it's actually coming from the cat, and the cat's not breathing. The cat's about 16 years old, and I got really worried, man. I thought I'm like, leave my cat alone. And it stopped. Then the cat didn't sleep inside for a week. So anyway,
Was used
but
as a
yeah, mate,
vehicle for something.
it was yeah. So, mate, because people have said, I said, oh yeah, I heard that noise and da da da, that exact noise, mate. And it was like not a cat purring. It was an electronic noise
Electronic noise, yeah, you can
coming
tell.
from my cat. So that's about as high strangeness as it's got for me. But man, that was intense that week. It was really intense. But as I said, I'm pretty sure something followed me home, and whatever it was playing with my cat, you know. And I thought it was going to kill it, to be honest, because a cat, you know, like I always, when I see my cat sleeping, you know, you can see the breathing sort of thing, you know. It's an old cat. I have a lot, you know, I love the cat, and I don't want anything to happen to it, especially through me just wanting experiences or something, like, you know what I mean? Like, you don't want anything harmed. And it freaked me out a bit, you know, and that was sort of, and then my mate came the next day, and we're like, nah, let's just step back from this and stop going outside looking for things you can't see and stop, you know what I mean?
No, I've had some weird shit. Like when I had to tell my mate that I saw his cat shapeshift into a 7-foot humanoid, it's like, who's gonna fucking
Gonna believe
believe
that
that? You know, like,
exactly.
yeah. So.
So anyway,
Yeah, you've got to laugh at it, but because if you don't, like I've found, like because this shit's so serious and it's real, if you don't learn to laugh about it, geez, it
oh,
can
it's
eat you
real,
up.
man. There is no, it is so, that's what I mean. There's no volume control button. It's not like, oh, just have a little bit of that tonight, you know what I mean? It's like, you know, and you can sense this stuff, and it's pretty full on, man. And anyway, so yeah, that was a bit of a trip.
No, that would have been. Now, we'll talk about Lee Kerr. She's a good friend of mine. I live with her for a little bit, and she's basically an angel walking among us, in my opinion, and doing a lot for Talk. How's being a part of Talk and doing what you're doing in New Zealand? Is there many people sort of communicating or step forward or just messenger behind the scenes about little things like that?
Yep, there is, for sure. Also, I've got to mention Rosie. I've sort of bought Rosie. I said to Lee, I need a little bit of help here. I would like a feminine approach.
Is that the blondie? I think she's just joined you lately in terms of leading that. I haven't spoken to her yet. I think we're friends.
You've got to realise that we've all got our own little areas in this subject, and it doesn't resonate with everybody, And I'm really trying to get more spiritual and stuff like that myself because, hey, I just am. But, I mean, I'm not at the level of maybe some others or whatever, Soul or whatever, even Lee and people,
But it's good you want that balance. And that's what's helped me out a lot, just being with Soul, is that you've got the balance of male and female perspectives and energy, so it can help.
Totally. So that's great. And, mate. But, yeah, Lee is wonderful, and she does so much for so many people. It's wonderful.
She doesn't fuck around, I'll tell you that. If she's got something she wants to do, she will get it done.
For sure,
you need that drive to do this.
Well, we had a little bit of a, we've been through it up and down a little bit. And, a little bit of a problem. And Lee just sorted it out. And I was like,
that's what you want.
Sorted it out. And we moved on. And it's great. And it was the right decision. She'd done that, it was like a day later that you had those things above your house.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh man, I'm so happy this is happening. It was really good for me too. It was like, oh wow, things are getting back to normal.
No, it's good that you're part of it. And, the being with Lee's energy and all that's good because I'll tell you what, where we are in Australia and Melbourne has been absolutely shit for this. Like, there is a couple of groups, but they're all, how big's the craft and is it real or, it's just shit that doesn't matter.
Yep.
And Lee's she's part of ASUM with myself, with Mary Rodwell, and she's in a place with Melbourne. Melbourne's always had a black hole for it. There's always, psychic fairs and, different stuff going on. But for the UFO field and experience the thing, people start things up and it shuts down because it doesn't take off. And how far she's come in this area, and now to have gone worldwide and include yourself, people like yourself from New Zealand, then Canada and America, she's really getting a lot of work out there, which is great that Talk's really getting around and out there. And look, this is what it's about, talking, and this is what you guys are doing on Facebook and email and messaging.
But I take it pretty seriously, like I've said to Lee, I won't let you down sort of thing, and won't, You've got to be, and you've got to be positive about things. Some things aren't so great or whatever, but you've just got to just move along. Like, nothing's ever, So yeah, man, it's been a roller coaster.
Where do you see things sort of progressing or pushing you to in the future, or anything sort of, anything you're planning on?
Oh, well, I'd love to open an extraterrestrial interdimensional embassy in New Zealand one day, to build a place for them to come and an auditorium for them to teach younger people and, different levels, interdimensional, this, that, living facilities, whatever, much like James Gillian.
The ranch there.
Like that, but I mean, even, but with no government, I think it's got to be the people that bring this sort of stuff forward. I think, they've had 60 years to fess up to all the lies and stuff, and it's just not going to happen, mate. Getting back to you, man, you'd have to be the most contacted sort of person in the world, I reckon, at the moment. I've been watching you for a while, and the amount of sightings and stuff goes on with you, mate. far out, you know, like it doesn't happen like that with anybody else as far as I can see, not to the level that you have.
Yeah, it's like, and I'll tell you what, like I'd say, like James has got it going. It just happens anywhere. Like even talking and seeing what James gets is the same as what I get. And I think once you've got to a point where you're meeting them halfway, it can happen, and it does happen. Like I've moved that many times in the last year that no matter where I've gone, I'm getting each place I've gone, I'm getting more activity. And as I said, like being in Melbourne, I actually thought things were going to die down, and having kids now and soul, I'm thinking, oh shit, you know, what's going to go on?
Yeah.
And it's gone through the roof, but
exactly.
I think everyone's actually got the, like, I think it's tailored. Like, I think it's actually tailored from my experience to the individual in terms of how much can they handle. They want this. We can't do that because they can't handle it. So what we're going to do is ease them into it so they get there.
And I think they really like this talk group being, you know, connected all around the world and stuff like that. I don't know. I've just, as soon as that started getting, you know, and the activity sort of intensified in Melbourne sort of thing.
There's so much happening in Melbourne. Like, I think it's Brad Morris. He's got the Melbourne UFO sightings group, and that's actually gone around Australia now too. He's got other groups. And it's just great because I'm not the only person seeing it. And then, you know, other people are filming stuff. Even when we do it, we've got satellite trackers. You know, we've got like Mick, who's part of the talk group. He's been with myself and when we've been in groups filming crafts, and he's a pilot. You know, he knows what to look for and all that. So it's going off around the world in a lot of places right now, I think. And, I think this is the way it is. I think everyone's having contact. It's just tailored for the individual. And why it's happening so much for me, you know, I've got no idea. I know that I'm connected and I'm meeting them halfway, but why? I've got no idea. But then you look at James and you go to the ranch and everyone goes there and it's the same stuff going on, different location and, you know, same messages.
Is it interdimensional, his stuff?
It's both. Like, if you...
sort of stuff or what?
Well, a lot, apparently, like I've got friends that have lived there and been there, and he's the real deal in terms of the information is the same as mine for starters, and I haven't cross-correlated with him until lately, and I'm just like, it's the same stuff, but a lot of it is interdimensional, but he can bring in people's guides and they can feel the beings there with him. He's got, I think it's like a Japanese monk. He's taking frigging photos with a cell phone without the flash on, and they're taking photos of crystal cities and beings like cat beings, Mother
cat
Mary.
Beings. Not photos of cat beings.
Go to eSETI, I think it's eSETI.com or .org, and everything's there on the website. And this dude, I think one of the times the frigging Japanese news crew was there, and they pulled the camera apart trying to debunk him, and they said, "Nah, this dude just took this frigging."
Photo.
And especially with the crafts, there's been so many people go to James's ranch, and what he's filming is basically the same as what I'm filming here in Australia, plus a lot of people like Damien, he's not having the contact like me. He doesn't know what he's experiencing.
Yeah.
And
is
we're
it more,
very good.
More energy sort of type things I've seen in his photos. You know what I mean? Where yours are actually solid on the inside, some of them.
Some,
you know,
the
one over the house. I'm pretty sure the one over the house, they had a solid ball inside whatever the light.
Yeah, definitely. And Damien's, to me, he's probably got the most going on in the world in terms of... he's got the most footage. Jaime Massan's passed a lot of, if not all the footage from what I've understood it up to a certain point, but Damien doesn't know what's going on for him. He hasn't seen beings or this and that. And that's great because talking to him, saying that is validation to me that he's not talking crap. He doesn't know. But he's getting more stuff than me and James and everyone else, and it's being validated, but... that's another person to look out for because his take on it and coming to some understanding or truth. I love it when people don't know what's going on, and I don't know what's going on, but they say that, but they're filming it.
If we did, we'd be off doing something else, wouldn't we?
Yeah, definitely. but with James, is you, I recommend if people can get to the ranch to do it, that you have to do it in summer because it's near a mountain and that much snow, but there's the balance of just as much physical stuff as interdimensional stuff. So a lot of people, I've heard stories where people have gone there and they've tried to debunk James, like even TV shows, and they've caught stuff and they can't deny it. They've actually showed it. I know that like there's a Bigfoot sort of thing going on there. I know people have gone there. I think on Art Bell's show once, they had people from Lockheed and I think Northrop Grumman or something like that, the aerospace companies and defense companies that build black ops stuff. And there's a craft there at the time, and they're telling Art, whatever the friggin' hell this is, it's not what we're working on. So, if anybody out there has got the money or they're in the States to go near the state of Washington, which I think is near Seattle, where James's ranch is there, check it out. But I think it's eSETI.org. You'd spend a couple of hours looking at everything on there. There's even a photo of him with Yeshua, Jesus, and Jesus is phasing out, is he's phasing in, and everyone else in the photo stays the same. And nobody saw that at the time.
Well, that's what I mean. It's this unseen thing.
But the land he was foresold, he was foretold about that land that he'd be there, and the energies are right. The same with where I was telling you before the show at Agnes Water. People were telling me that's a portal, and I had no idea till I talked to Mary. And the veils between worlds in some of these vortex or energy spots, like you're about to visit, there's a good chance you can experience something because the veils are so thin that they can, it's easy wear and tear, you know?
And to build an embassy or a whatever, a place on a place that's got a portal would be ideal,
Oh,
obviously.
definitely, definitely.
You know.
And who knows? Like I said to anyone, anything's possible. Sol and myself are looking at doing something here, in Melbourne, somewhere like that. Because we do a lot of work ourselves with guide sessions, and she does the readings and that. That if we could do that and have a property big enough to, not huge, but big enough to do sky
No, definitely.
watches, you build up the energy, make a grid, and all that
Absolutely.
sort of thing, and all that. So it's all happening. But look, we'll wrap it up there, mate. John, it's been cool having you on, and thanks for having the balls to come on and chat, because I know coming out and doing that type of thing, I know what it took for myself to do that. But it's been cool talking to you, and thank you so much.
Not a problem at all. It's good to finally chat and stuff like that. And thanks for having me. It's been a, you know, it's been a ball.
Sweet,
And
mate.
I hope everybody enjoys what we've got to say, what we've had to say and stuff like that. So
Yeah, definitely. No, I think they will, and we'll wrap it up there. But thanks, mate, and we've got to stay in touch.
okay,
All right, cheers, mate.
mate. All right, mate. Bye.